Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Big breaking sports news in the last 5 minutes. We're live here in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. And we just so happen to have an amazing guest to talk about what happened here lined up. And he is on the Progressive guest line. David Sampson joins the program, former longtime Marlins president and now the host of the Nothing Personal podcast. David, thanks for the time today. How are you?
I am doing great. I love watching news break while we are in the break.
Yeah, and this is massive. This is, I'll read you the tweet from Shams to get your reaction here from ESPN. He tweeted out that the Buss family is entering an agreement to sell majority ownership of the Lakers to Mark Walter, the CEO and chairman of diversified holding company TWG Global. Jeannie Buss will continue to serve in a role as the governor after the sale. Mark Walter owns the Dodgers. What does this mean, and how did you react when you saw the news?
Well, I'm not surprised. The reason you're seeing a bunch of franchise sales right now is there's families who want to take money off the table. They want to do some estate planning. And you also have a situation where the patriarch died quite a long time ago in Jerry Buss, and you may not have all the kids aligned in terms of how much money they want to take off the table or if they want to operate the team or anything like that. And so you do a transaction like this. It's sort of like cashing in on a bet. You take the money and you decide what you're going to do with it after. But one of the things that interested me greatly is the thought that Jeannie Buss is going to continue as governor of the Lakers. It's like when Mark Cuban was rumored to be continuing as governor of the Mavericks, right? And that was total horse hockey. There was no way that a majority owner would let a previous owner do that. So I think there's a lot of ground yet to cover in terms of this transaction, because it would be unlikely to me that Mark Walter would want Jeannie Buss to be the governor if he's going to be the majority owner. Mm.
Do you think he's going to spend a lot? Certainly they have a cap, but if he'll go past the second apron and what he'll do as an owner and spend?
Well, if you look at what the Dodgers do, they've got a tremendous amount of money and they use their money as a sword, not a shield. By that, I mean they're willing to take on bad contracts in order to get extra draft picks or extra young players. Mm-hmm. They're willing to pay injured players while they rehab in order to benefit from them when they're healthy. And that's a sport without a salary cap. The big difference in basketball that Mark Walter is going to get used to, and maybe that will impact baseball's collective bargaining negotiations, but he's going to get used to a sport with a cap. And that means that there are huge penalties for going over that second apron, more so than in baseball. And frankly, you shouldn't need to do it to build a winner. You just have to make smarter decisions than what the Lakers have done recently.
Mm. Well said. And by the way, I'm seeing that Jerry Buss bought the Lakers from Jack Kent Cook back in 1979 for $65 million. $67.5 million. I do not see what they sold it for.
Yeah. So Celtics went for $6.1 billion without an arena, David.
This has to be close to $10 billion, yeah?
Well, it depends what's in the deal. It depends. Remember, the Celtics deal is not even 6-1. There's a second step to the Celtics deal around over 7, which brings the deal to about 7.3, what they're saying is the value of that. But don't be thinking at all that that means that Mark Walter is writing a $7 billion check to the Buss family. Mm. There's debt on the team, and there's a matter of how much of the team he's actually going to buy of the Buss family shares. So there's a lot of details left to learn and to then be able to analyze. But what it means is that what Mark Walter is doing is he is doubling down on Los Angeles, and he's getting into a sport that he was not in. And he really is becoming bigger than even Fenway Sports Group. So I really wish that we could hear a conversation between Mark Walter and LeBron James and Mark Walter and John Henry, the owner of the Red Sox. It'd be super funny.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, well done. How do you think that was handled? But with the Devers trade, and then you were critical of the Red Sox with the press conference promising, hey, we're going to win more games. Trust us. This is going to work.
Yeah, I would have preferred them just to win more games. Yes. It's always better to be able to just do something and then say, look, we're smarter than you, instead of just saying, trust me, we're smarter than you. We'll prove it. I like to under-promise and over-deliver, and they knew they were getting crushed by the fans, and they doubled down with their explanation about alignment and all the other words they used. Here's the truth. Devers was getting traded. Hard stop. after he would not play the field, after he was a pain in the neck in the clubhouse, after John Henry had to fly to Kansas City, they said, you know what? This is addition by subtraction. So don't look at just the players they got back from the Giants. Look at the reallocation of money that they will do, because they will reallocate it in Boston. They see an opportunity, especially they're getting closer and closer to the Yankees and the Blue Jays. I expect them to add at the deadline and then sign a free agent to take up Devers' money.
Okay, so what did you make overall of the package that they got in return, to expand on that? We brought on Matt Vasgersian, MLB Network, on Monday, and his reaction was, look, I think if they put this out there, I don't know if they get as much in return compared to what they got from San Francisco. Would you agree with that?
Well, let's be clear. They did put it out there. Please do not believe what anyone tells you if they say that they just called San Francisco and said, hey, Buster, it's Craig. You want Devers? Because if so, you got to fire him immediately. There is no chance that's how it happened. There's only 29 calls to make. It's not like you don't have time during the course of a day to do it. And so you call different teams and you see what's available out there. Devers was in the market, I promise you, from the minute John Henry landed back from Kansas City in that meeting all those weeks ago. And this was the best deal they could get, because they got all the money paid for by the Giants. They got four bodies who can fog up a mirror. Jordan Hicks is hurt, but he can go to the bullpen. You got Harrison in AAA. Even if he's a number seven starter, you know you need that many starters. You got the number four prospect. Odds are maybe a cup of coffee, maybe not, but you got a shot. And you never know, but you got that money to reallocate and get a player a better fit than Devers was in Boston.
Okay, so getting rid of the money is the biggest part of the deal, obviously. Yeah,
there's no question. And there's only very few teams who are willing to do it. Like a team like Toronto, where they can't necessarily get a free agent to come in, where they're always the bridesmaid. You got the feeling the Giants felt that way too. And God knows they needed left-handed power. They haven't had a 30-home run guy since Barry Bonds in 2004. So they needed left-handed pop, and now they have it. He's already got 15 home runs, so he will definitely help their lineup, no question about it. But he's an expensive player. And by the way, he's now willing to play the field. That's what would infuriate me if I were the Red Sox.
Oh, yep.
And he wouldn't play the field, and now he will.
Yep, great point at the end. Are you incensed, outraged, maybe not surprised how the Knicks have handled this Thibodeau situation? And, well, we'll just grab somebody and make all these, and everyone keeps turning them down, and they can't get a chance to get a new coach.
I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second. I'm getting an important call. It's Jim Dolan. 1 second. Let me take it. Jimmy, what's up, man? You want me to coach? All right. 1 second. Let me finish the show. I'll be back to you. Can you imagine the people he's calling to coach his team? Everybody.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. How do you fire Tibbs and not have someone lined up? I fired like 20 managers, always knew who we were hiring next. It makes no sense to me. They're calling everybody. I expect someone to have experience in that job. Jim Dolan's not going to go for a first-time coach. I expect that he'll want a name to replace Thibodeau. So say a Mike Malone. They're looking at Taylor Jenkins. I don't think it'll be one of the up-and-coming young assistants.
The overall game plan, though, again, there wasn't one, right?
It certainly seems not. Because if they called all these organizations for permission, that what kind of game plan is that? When we wanted to hire people employed by other organizations, we tampered. First, we spoke to the coach or the manager and said, hey, do you want to come to us? Yes. All right. Then we called the owner of the other team and said, hey, we want to hire your manager or your coach or whoever else. So first you tamper, then you figure out how to get permission. You don't do it after the firing. You do it all before the firing.
Paulie brought something up interesting the day after this news broke that they were going to, you know, cut ties with him. And that was, it was a question. And it is, if the Knicks lost to the Celtics, like we all thought they were going to, do they bring him back at that point? Or do they still fire him because they thought that, you know what, our entire goal here is to make the finals this year?
It's very bizarre to me that you're firing the coach because he didn't make the finals. I think the reality is that the players may not have been happy with him. There were rumors that he was in the exit interviews. The players were frustrated. Is it that they're working too hard, playing too many minutes? Well, if you had a better bench, then maybe you wouldn't have to play so many minutes. So that could be a factor. Maybe they didn't like how grumpy he was on the court. I don't know the reason, other than to say, when you're an owner or a president, You don't do your exit interviews with the players and have the players dictate your strategy. You have a strategy mm-hmm. that you then try to get buy-in from the players once you know what you're doing. You don't want the tail wagging the dog, and it seems like that's what's happening with the Knicks.
Yeah, just a minute left. You have experience, and you got into this on your podcast. What's it like working for an eccentric owner day in, day out?
You know, you don't do a lot of sleeping, and you have to understand that as the wind blows, when you lose a game that's close and late, you may have to fire someone, you may have to bench someone, and you try to keep calm, and you try to separate work from home, and then you start like me. You look old, and you become 5'5". When I first got into baseball, I was 6'4".
Yes, I remember those photos, actually. Yeah, you stood next to Aaron Judge, right next to him. Yeah, it was good. That was awesome. Love the knowledge, as always. Yeah. You can follow him on X at David P. Sampson and the podcast at Dynamite as well. Nothing personal with David Sampson. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
Have a great day. Bye.
Back at you. There you go. And he was on the Progressive guest line. Good. Now he's right about the Lakers. It won't be the same as the Dodgers, right?
Is it 10 billion?
It is 10 billion. Yeah,
10 billion.
Yep. Wow. It has to go for that much, though.
Oh, I mean, that story. It was two seasons on HBO. It was very good, especially the second season. And the show Winning Time was based on the book from Jeff Perlman.
Right.
And it gets into detail about what that there was like a trade. When Buss bought the team from Cook and the right. Empire State Building was involved and all this. Oh, 1979. Yep. Incredible.
All right. Up next, we'll hit more games in Major League Baseball, an update on the Red Sox Mariners, live betting numbers and props for tonight's card. How about 13-3 to the over when facing this team? Details next. Welcome back. Big news in the NBA today. We'll tie it into gambling here. Again, Mark Walter, owner of the Dodgers, is entering an agreement to purchase majority ownership of the Lakers from the Buss family for a valuation of approximately $10 billion, the largest sale of a professional sports franchise in the world. That's according to Sham Sharini at ESPN.
Oh, what a number.
$10 billion. That was my guess. Has to go. They have to go for $10 billion, right?
Why? Because well,
name me a bigger brand in sports in North America.
Cowboys right there with them?
No, they're right there. I don't know if the Cowboys are bigger. I mean,
well, the thing about the Celtics was that Celtics sale, though, they don't have the arena. That's why it's like, why are you paying those over $6 billion
right.
and you don't even have the arena? But then here with the Lakers, it's, yeah, right there. What would the Cowboys go for?
I'd say Cowboys and, you know, the Yankees, but are the Yankees, would they fetch $10 billion tomorrow? Maybe,
yeah, that's
maybe
a good
they
one
would.
Too.
But...
I know that's a good one too. Those are your big three.
Yeah, oh for sure. That's it.
Those are your big
that's
three.
That's the list right there.
No doubt, Celtics right there as well. But that's David Sampson. Great timing. He's so good on stuff like this, the LeBron angle. But also, it's like, hey, Dad bought the team in 1979. He got the Lakers, the Forum, the Kings, Empire State Building in there and stuff with Jack Kent Cook, and it goes back. Darren Revell had a great tweet. It was delayed because. I don't think we had a fax machine. We didn't have the mass adoption of the fax machine until 19, whatever it was, the timing, and it was held up. And then it's like, okay, well, you got so many kids here.
Right.
And then it's like, let's take some money off the table and let's just put our feet up and get as much money as we can, and that's it. And then, but also, great point, you see how the Dodgers run things. Will he spend? Will he say, oh, Golden State doesn't care?
No, that's the thing, right?
Spends. It doesn't matter what
sure.
the penalty
and,
is.
And that guy loves to win.
That's right.
And clearly, the Dodgers' ownership here, now trickling over to the Lakers moving forward, it appears to me, Paulie, as if they will do whatever they can to win championships based on what they gave Otani, and then they even had a better offseason this past year. You can't exactly spend like that in the NBA like you can in Major League Baseball. However, the Golden State Warriors would be the perfect example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lacob loves to win. He came over and was going to change everything about that franchise. And people forget about this. The Golden State Warriors were basically a non-factor for four decades. You have to go back to Rick Barry to find, like, okay, that's when they were really, really good. But for many, many, many years, they did absolutely nothing and they were completely incompetent and nobody cared about them outside of maybe Sacramento and the Oakland area. The Lakers are 16-1 next year. I mean, in theory, it's like, hey, let's just go throw money at everybody. And we'll pay every, you know, apron imaginable. But I don't think it's that easy to do it in the NBA. So, like, betting them at 16-1 to win the title next year because they have a new ownership who has endless pockets, I don't think it's a good idea. Well, you want to fight back, huh?
I think it could be a game changer. Well, the other thing, too, was, remember, Brian Windhorst was criticized for what he said after the Warriors beat the Celtics, saying, well, the checkbook was the MVP of the series because how much money they spent on this team and the payrolls. But that could be in play here because, remember, LeBron wants. And it goes back to Miami where he said, I'm trying to bring up the evaluations here of all these franchises, but LeBron in Miami left because he thought, go into the tax, help me out with the bench, get me more help. I don't blame him for leaving Cleveland the first time. They didn't surround him with good players. The roster was ridiculous, and you couldn't get free agents. Mm-hmm. And then once he saw the writing on the wall, we're getting older in Miami. Cleveland's winning the lottery. Cleveland has some young talent. And how he decided to play that, I thought was great. And then he does the same thing at the end of Cleveland where, hey, make moves. Let's go. You promised. He made Gilbert promise on the record. You're going to always improve the team and spend money. And has it worked out that way in L.A.? Well, they won a championship. But certainly you make the big trade for Luka, but LeBron's getting up there in age as well. I think you would rank it. Dallas is right there, Cowboys, and then the Warriors are $9 billion too. This is before the sale. Wow. That's another one. See, Rams. Doesn't he own the stadium? Does Kroenke own?
Kroenke owns SoFi?
Yeah, I believe he does. That's a game changer too. Yes. They're right there with the Yankees, $7.5 billion, and the Knicks, according to Forbes.
I'll give you another show to watch on Netflix. Kate Hudson's in it, called Running Point. It's a funny take, and they use fictitious names, but it's about the bus kids taking over the Lakers organization, and it's very well done. I think I laughed out loud, like, every single episode.
I will check that out.
Her brother is just a complete train wreck, and he is phenomenal in, like, the first couple episodes. Uh-huh.
Did you ever read the book, Perlman's book?
Showtime?
So good.
I did not.
And then the TV show, it's unfortunate, only lasted two seasons on HBO.
You liked it, huh? I thought it looked so goofy that I never watched it.
Second season was very good. But with the life that guy led, I mean, what he thought of. He came up with the cheerleaders and the Laker girls. I mean, he came up with that. And let's get the celebrities in and let's comp Jack tickets and let him show up and what that turned into and... I believe he was the first owner where it was the Great Western Forum. He sold the rights to the bank. What he did? That guy was a genius. Stuff he came up with.
How's that for an ROI, by the way? You go back to when Jerry Buss bought the Lakers from Jack Kent Cook for $67.5 million and it sold today for $10 billion. Pretty good?
Hell of a job.
Yeah. I will pay off the tease here. In Major League Baseball tonight, the Royals are playing at the Rangers. Bubich against Corbin. The total has moved on this game overnight, 8.5, down to 8, which I agree with. Lefty starters are on a 13-3 overrun with their K-prop against the Rangers. Bubich, 5.5, juice to the gills to the over. Got to pay about $1.80 on him to get the 6 Ks. But also, this feels to me like, and again, agreeing with the market here on the move to 8.5, I was a little bit surprised to see it open at that number. The problem here all year long for the Royals has been, well, their offense stinks. They rarely, if ever, go over like 4.5 runs in a game. And the Rangers at home, they've been a huge story of like playing unders the entire year. And I know it's Corbin, but the Royals offense, I think, maybe offsets that. And Corbin hasn't been exactly like the disastrous Corbin from the previous 3 years.
Texas number one, 49-23-1 to the under. And then that sick run they've had all year to the under in home games as well.
Let me give you some streaks. Pitchers are 12-1 under their K-prop against Miami. That's the last 13 games. Ranger Suarez prop 5.5 under is -155 tonight. 9-2 under run for pitchers against the Rays. Trevor Rogers for Baltimore. His prop is 4.5 under -150.
You seen these numbers for Suarez? How good he's been?
Oh, he's
5-1 with a 1.16 last seven.
Super solid. Yeah. In that same game, Rays and Orioles, right-handed pitchers are on a 15-6 overrun to their K-prop. Taj Bradley, 5.5 over -110. Here's some good first five stuff. Diamondbacks, 18-7-4, last 29 games. They're -120 today. The Guardians, the exact opposite. They got the win last night, 6-18-4 in their last 28 in the first five. Giants are minus 145 today. The Mets against Sale. In the last 22 games, the Mets are 16-6 in the first five. They're around plus 170 against Sale today on the money line, or plus half a run is plus 115. You mentioned that with Suarez, how good he's been. Last 30 games for Philadelphia, 19-5-6 in the first five. They're minus 170 against the Marlins. The Cardinals and Nats have been really bad going back, and the White Sox are plus 150 or so with Burke in the first five against Gray, or plus half a run, plus 108. And the Rockies are plus 120 or higher in the first five against a bad Nationals team in the first five, and overall, plus a half a run for Colorado was about plus 105.
It's got to be some kind of a record for a team to be laying this on a 9- and 10-game losing streak. They're laying.
Well, you think so?
I mean, this is...
Well, the opening number, again, was just mystifying last night. How they opened up minus 180 is, you know, beyond me.
I really like the Astros tonight, and the Severino numbers so bad at home. Got to take Valdez. And call Atlanta now second worst ROI in all of baseball.
Second worst.
You believe that? Even with the win last night, they're behind the White Sox.
Ooh.
And then Baltimore's on that list as well. How would you like to play the Circa Survivor or Circa Millions contest for free this season? Winner Circle Proxy giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest plus full proxy service. Enter now for your chance to win. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VEASAN. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VEASAN. Incredible giveaway and prize. Get up there now.
Bottom of the fifth in Seattle, by the way. The Red Sox are leading the Mariners by a score of 3-1. Cal Raleigh is at the plate right now facing Garrett Crochet. This was a good pitching matchup today on paper. And the first five did go over, though, because the first five was 3.5. And the total was bet down from 7 to 6.5 here. We'll see if Raleigh can do anything in this at-bat with a runner on first base.
Well, I had this one right. Anthony's 2 of 25, 8 strikeouts.
Yeah.
It's just they press, and it takes a while. I can't believe that. $10
billion. $10 billion.
There's no end in sight, right? I mean, when's this going to slow down?
It will not.
I mean,
if Jerry puts up the Cowboys tomorrow, they could get more than that, I guess. It's, you know, whatever somebody's willing to pay.
Yankee fans would love to see the Steinbergs probably put it up.
I can't wait for Mike Palm to join the program next to get his thoughts on how other players in the league treat Caitlin Clark.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. A lot going on. Time now for our weekly visit with Mike Palm. He is the VP of Circa Las Vegas, the Golden Gate, and the D here all in downtown. He is the maestro as well. Good to see you, pal. How are you today?
Good. Great to see you, Mitch. Great to see you, Paul.
Hey, Mike.
Had a heck of a time in Omaha with you guys. I mean, that. I hope we do it again. I thought that was a great trip, and what a great atmosphere. The friendliness, the welcoming. We're all from the Midwest, so we understand that kind of hospitality as soon as you hit the ground.
That location is absolutely phenomenal.
Perfect with the background you had, and you had all those people walking by. It may have been the best set we've ever had here.
It was really good.
Went a week too early, apparently, too. Could have ran into Skeens.
Skeens and Libby?
The owner of Raising Cane's.
Yeah, Derek saw them Saturday night. I think he tried to hire her for stadium swim, but he's a couple zeros short.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, your reaction to the Lakers selling for $10 billion, the Buss family going to get out of this? Paulie and I talked about, like, to me, it's not baseball. It's this guy's part of the Dodgers ownership group, right? And they will spend whatever it takes to win a championship. Yeah. But baseball's a little bit different. There's a salary cap. I get it. You can go over that and pay the taxes here, but betting the Lakers will win the title next year, to me, I can't do that.
Maybe not next year. Maybe this is beyond post-LeBron era, but certainly it makes them a much more interesting play when you know you have somebody that has already demonstrated in baseball he's going to spin to the hilt to get whatever you need. That's like right now people asking about, should you fade the Dodgers? They've hit the end. Well, who cares? At the end, they're just going to acquire whatever they need to acquire. Yeah. You really can't make any serious baseball bets until after the trade deadline because they're just going to load up. If they need two arms, they'll get two arms. If they need three arms, they'll get three arms. If they need a stick, they'll get a stick. But I think if you're a Lakers fan, you have to feel better,
sure,
don't you? that now in the West, your team becomes much more relevant because of the deeper pockets.
No doubt. Thanks for pointing out during the break, too. Bus put up the Chrysler building at the Empire State. Yeah. But the Chrysler building, real estate and half cash was part of the deal in 1979 to get it from Cook.
He divorced his wife of 45 years.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, would get married four more times after that in the last 20 years of his life.
Yeah.
You know who the judge was in that trial, his divorce trial? Superior Court, Joseph A. Wapner, Jack Kent Cook's divorce. But he had to. $42 million settlement. He had to come up with the cash.
Wapner?
Wapner was the divorce judge. Yeah,
three minutes to Wapner was the judge?
Yeah, he was the judge of Jack Kent Cook's divorce.
You have this filed away? You remember
I was doing some research on the sale, and I was saying it's only the second owner since Jack Kent Cook.
Pretty good. Good. Is that a strong ROI?
I think it's a really strong ROI.
I can beat it. Steinbrenner bought the Yankees for $10 million in 73. That's about $9
billion. $10 million.
I know.
$10 million. Wow. That's an all-time fleece job.
Yes,
that's
right.
Like buying the Cowboys for $10 million. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What do you think the Indiana Fever are going to be worth one day? Mike,
I don't know what the league
on?
Is going to be worth if they don't get...
well said.
They don't... If Adam Silver... Now, I blame Adam Silver. He has got to get Kathy Engelbert out of there. They've lost all control of what's going on in this. Nobody even got a how could there not have been ejections in that game? Instead, you get a technical on Caitlin, and then it just led to more and more from that point on. And then Cunningham with the two flagrants. I mean, what's going on here? They're going to try to break this girl's neck.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely ludicrous. Think if people were trying to kill Tiger Woods. I mean, think about this.
That's what it is. Mitch said it earlier. That's the equivalent.
She's Tiger Woods.
She is going to make you so much money, and she is the reason this league is popular, and you're trying to hurt her or you're jealous, and how the hard fouls and the jealousy and the comments since she came into the league from day one, it's absolutely bizarre. I don't understand it. That would be the equivalent of how
it's
they
the equivalent.
If they treat look at how big the price money became, and look what Tiger Woods did for golf, and then they would just say, no, we don't like him. We're going to try to get you out.
He created all these young kids to go out and play golf, and the renewed interest in the sport is exactly what she's doing for women's basketball. I mean, I want to know how the league still lost $40 million last year. They have to have a change in ownership. As much as you hate Dolan from New York, right, the owner from New York, he's the one that said, open the books up on this league. How can it be every year we're losing $40 to $50 million?
Right.
And I mean, she was the CEO of Deloitte. You've got to get somebody else in there that can run this league. It's absolutely outrageous. And I think the product is halfway decent. I know people hate me when I say that. I think the product's halfway decent.
Well, there's a ton of talent in the league.
She went from this league's, the ratings dropped, different people quote, from 50 to 60%. Not just the Fever games. People stopped watching while she was out for
three weeks.
She comes back. That was the most viewed game on Saturday in the history of the league.
Right.
And she put on the greatest show anybody's ever seen, too.
You know, I remember we had Doug Kazarian on last year before the season, and we did like a full
hour
breakdown.
He followed this league well before I ever did.
He's loved it for a decade, whatever, longer than that, betting the whole thing. His point about Caitlin Clark winning the MVP last year was, look, they're going to go from flying what they have had to go through and missing like connection flights, and they're going to be charters now, some of them flying privately, and you're going to be getting a lot more money. And what she means overall, the ratings are going to go through the roof. Voters might look at that and say, she is the most valuable player in the league. Again, you hurt her. Like if they actually would have hurt her last night and she's gone for an extended amount of time, just find out how valuable she is to the league. You're going to go back to eating ramen noodles. I can't believe it.
This has gone on all last year. I mean, the amount of physical hard fouls in this league is ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay, that's where I was going to go, because Stephanie White said the officials are getting worse.
Well, they're worse than good high school officials. Do you watch these games, how bad these officials are? I said this last year several times. They must upgrade the officiating. Bring in men's college officials or something and pay them. Right? You've got to take control of these games.
Yeah. And by the way, it's the same commissioner as last year, wearing the Skyline on her dress after the Liberty. Yeah. Somehow they were gifted.
Six steps. Stewie took six steps, and then they called a touch foul with a second to go.
Yep. I used the word crooked during one of the breaks earlier.
Well, Cheryl Reeve said it. This was robbed from us.
Yeah, it was.
And it's probably going to be those two teams meet again this year.
Do you have an opinion on the College World Series game coming up a little bit later on tonight?
I just don't know if Arkansas has enough arms to beat them twice. I think they can get them one time, but you get into that loser's bracket, and they've come with these arms.
Wood go again? Is he done till?
I would think he'd be done till Sunday, right? And if they may, I don't think you can use him again. What a performance that was. But they've come with all these arms. And let's face it, I mean, it wasn't the pitching that did them in against LSU. They got beat 4-1, and then they win 3-0, and they haven't scored a ton of runs till a little bit late against UCLA. I think this that Arkansas and UCLA were the two best coach teams that I saw there in terms of fundamentals. There's a lot of bad defensive product.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I mean, we loved it, but there's some very bad baseball being played. Yeah. They don't hit cutoff men, can't field ground balls.
Botched a rundown.
There was a grounder.
Why did he run him towards the plate?
Yeah, that botched a rundown.
That 6-7 run that Arizona fell apart in both games. How about this stat, Mitch? Going into the College World Series, Arizona, when tied or leading after 7, was 39-0. They were now 39-2. They lose both their games, tied in the one and leading in the other in 7. They had the best bullpen in college baseball.
There was a completely routine play yesterday. It was the Oregon State-Louisville game when we were on the air. And the shortstop completely whiffed. Now, the runner maybe got in front of his way.
That was in the ninth inning.
Yes.
There was a double play ball.
Yes.
And the two runs scored to tie the game. And then they got out of it, second and third, and nobody out.
That's JV baseball stuff that you see.
That eighth inning of Arizona's loss that eliminated them, I think you could have called 5 errors in that inning. Of guys that not catching the ball, come out of the glove. The shortstop made 2 errors. I mean, it's just really bad stuff.
When it's done right, in the heyday when it was edited and it was on every channel, the big events, would you rather watch poker or college baseball?
Well, with those two mainstays for ESPN, I think college baseball. The poker is few and far between. I mean, in reality, we all know there's hours go on between these hands.
Sure.
And they put them all together.
Sure.
And that, but then the hands take 8 minutes long, Paul, and it's just, I'd probably rather watch. I mean, growing up, that's ESPN had it on every night. You could watch it, go back and watch every one of these World Series with these teams.
Huge in the summer.
Yeah. Let me keep digging then. America's Cup, yacht racing, or college baseball?
Come on now. You know that Derek's father, John Stevens, raced sailboats and beat Dennis Connor after he had won the America's Cup that next year.
I did not know that.
That's a tremendously interesting fact about Derek's father. He's an engineer, designed his own sailboats, and raced him.
Would he race him? Beat
Dennis Connor. They go down to Florida, race him in Florida.
And he beat Dennis Connor.
Dennis Connor, who was the reigning America's Cup champion, however you want to say it.
That's a nice little tidbit right there.
It is.
Okay.
Good info. Get down to Circa. CircaLasVegas.com. The all-in package, $400, two-night stay, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, and your own day bed at Stadium Swim, where the party never stops, all for just $400. It goes through September 4th. Lock it in now, the all-in summer package, CircaLasVegas.com.
By the way, Coastal Carolina's winning streak continues. 11-3 victors today over Louisville. They are now in the second finals ever when they won it back in 2016. The first time, obviously, and now they're back in it. And they'll take on the winner of LSU and Arkansas.
The game against Arizona, the very first game of the College World Series, the key play, Coastal was down 4-3 in the seventh, and first and third and two outs. They weren't throwing through on any first and third, and the second baseman trailed the runner down to second as if they were going to throw through, and the ground ball went right to where he would have been at second. Might be a different game if it's still 4-3 into the eighth.
Is it the game where you were at and you got baked?
Burnt.
Yeah.
Burnt. I was right behind the Arizona dugout. Right behind it.
Good stadium, though.
Beautiful stadium.
Beautiful stadium.
It is.
More with the maestro Mike Palm coming up next, including You Cannot Be Serious. If this happens in the Stanley Cup Final, it would have broken the internet. Find out what it was next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. We continue here Wednesdays with the maestro. Who wants to hear a good rant? I do. It's time now for You Cannot Be Serious.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
All right, let's pay off the tees right away, Mitch. The Calder Cup Finals. They played 3 games so far. I want to go back to game one. Now, for those who are not familiar with the Calder Cup, it's the American Hockey League's version of the Stanley Cup, minor league hockey. So this year it's being played between the Abbotsford Canucks, Abbotsford, British Columbia, of course the Vancouver farm team, and the Charlotte Checkers, who are not a Hurricanes farm club, but a Florida Panthers farm club. They were a Hurricanes farm club up till like 2020. Anyhow, game one, they're a double overtime, Mitch. Face off to the right of the Abbotsford goaltender, and you'll know this name, Artur Slivas. Remember, he was forced into duty in the playoffs last year when Thatcher Demko was hurt?
Yeah, remember won some games. Wow. Damn right.
Artur Slivas, face off to his right. They drop the puck. The Checkers center shoots it off the faceoff right into the goal. They celebrate, skating around the ice. Game one goes to Charlotte. But wait, Slivas had his back turned to the play and wasn't ready for the puck to be dropped. The referees huddled for over 2 minutes and then declared no goal.
Oh my God.
2 minutes later, Abbotsford scores to take game one of the series. The world would have lost their minds if that would have. Of course, it probably wouldn't have happened in an NHL game. But he was turned fixing his back was to the goal, and the guy shot it off the faceoff right in. No replay. Referees on ice huddled. But American Hockey League!
You cannot be serious!
All right, let's stay with the hockey theme here. Have you been thrilled by the release of the top six players of these Olympic teams that have come out?
It's been very entertaining. Yes, I can't wait.
Very entertaining. So you saw Canada release their first six players. Pretty nice lineup, huh? Crosby, McDavid, McKinnon, Reinhardt, Braden Point, and Cale Makar. Here comes America releases their first six. Okay? Auston Matthews, the Tkachuk brothers, Quinn Hughes, Eichel, and Charlie McAvoy. Now, the first point, I'm going to go into several things in this segment, though. You have the reigning Vezina and Hart winner, who is an American, the MVP of the NHL, an American goaltender, and Connor Hellebuck, and he's not one of your top six players on the Olympic team? Is he even going to be on the Olympic team? You know what I would do? Screw him and screw that fake Ace Ottinger down in Dallas. I wouldn't invite either of them on the team. I'd take Dustin Wolf. I'd take Thatcher Demko. I'd take Swayman. I'd take these kids. Why come up with these guys that can't win in the pressure? I know they're a big underdog to Canada anyhow. And it's really not a gold unless you let Russia have their own team. I mean, how about that stack team? I want to get into how USA Hockey decides that Bill Guerin should be the GM again. Why do they keep appointing Bill Guerin? What has he proved in Minnesota? That every year his team will be injured going into playoffs and losing the first round. That's all you get out of the Wild. That's all you get out of them. And then let's look at the competitions. They give Guerin the Four Nations job. Lose. How about the World Championships? No Guerin? Healthy? USA cruises to gold. Why is he back? Why is he the GM of this team? It's nothing but a history of injuries and losses. I don't get it. USA Hockey?
You cannot be serious.
And I wish we could show the video of this thing. This was Monday night in Tampa Bay in the second. This is the worst call I've seen this season. Bruce Dreckman, who remember the report was he was drinking in the casino till 10:30 in the morning earlier this year in Pittsburgh before a game. He's at first base. Josh Lowe lays down a bunt for Tampa Bay. Ramon Urias picks it up. I mean, it's a brilliant bunt. I didn't even know why he threw the ball. Lowe was so safe. I went back this on the tape of this with a stopwatch and tried to get it as close as I would. I mean, he was on the base. The ball was still 12 feet from first base, and he called him out. I did it. I was over 0.7 seconds how much he beat this throw by. This is like an Angel Hernandez call. It's that bad what Dreckman did. And they were out of challenges in the second inning already. They couldn't challenge it. But it totally changed the inning. They would have had the bases loaded and only one out. Instead, Baltimore got out of it. No runs. The Rays still win the game. But Lowe says to him, you can see him saying it, you missed that call really bad. Really bad you missed that one. But nothing they can do about it. Bruce Dreckman!
You cannot be serious!
Mike, I have the still shot up right in front of me.
Look at this.
Oh, my God.
He pops him out. Look at that play.
You're out of there.
You're out.
Oh, man. He beats it up by three steps.
I didn't even know why he threw the ball. I mean, you could tell. The bump was so good, and he was playing back.
You were saying something during the break. I have not seen the ratings for the Stanley Cup yet, but you were saying absolutely dreadful.
Well, not dread, but lowest since the bubble. Surprising because of the quality of the first four games of the series.
Did that reflect in the betting handle here at Circa?
The handle was decent, and it was good for us because people continued to bet Edmonton. Edmonton. It went from before the series, Edmonton was a tiny loser for us, and Florida was an okay winner, to the point where Edmonton became a pretty big loser for us, and Florida became, a low six figures to mid-six figures winner for us. So great work again by Junkyard Dog booking the hockey this year, and of course doing all the college baseball for us, Jeff Davis.
And he opened up Florida 8-1 here for next season.
Yeah. He opened, but there's like four teams that are right at the top, right?
Right.
He did him, his beloved Carolina was not the favorite. Like they opened, he opened them the favorite. At no point during the entire year was Carolina not the favorite here at Circa past year.
Okay, so we talked about this earlier. I think it's pretty safe to say that the stiffest competition for Florida the entire time was Toronto.
I wanted to bring something up. There was a post-game presser, I believe after game five, about Matthew Tkachuk coming back and playing through injuries to make it back for the playoffs. And it was really interesting what he said. He said, I wanted to make it back for the first round because we knew that the Lightning would be our toughest opponent other than the finals. A pretty bold statement, isn't it?
Well, and they crushed Tampa Bay.
Big rivalry. But Toronto had him. Yeah, Toronto had him.
Bennett knocking out Stolarz was the difference. Yeah.
What do you think happens with McDavid? 1 year left in his contract.
Well, the narrative would be so much different if they'd have won this, right? It was going to be now how many cups would he get?
Sure. Well, to your point, before the cup started, you said you liked Edmonton because eventually the best
they all
win. And we had that stat earlier.
Yep.
9 straight years, 90-plus points, and never won a cup in those years. It's never happened before. Like, he has to win one at some point.
What do you think if you were him, you would try to go to an American team? I'm just saying because, again, Canada – it's on the doorstep and can't get their cup.
Would you want to go to Toronto?
I would not want to go to Toronto. You have two Hall of Famers there, right? I still can't believe what we saw when we were in Omaha that night, that they came back from 3-0 down in game four. That should have been 6-0. I mean, that really wasn't Skinner's fault. He got pulled there, you can't blame Skinner for that. How about the third goal he gave up last night?
Oh, my God.
They're on the ice for a minute, 45. The whole team's gassed, and he shoulders the puck over. Instead of catching. Yeah. It's the worst mistake I've seen a goalie make in a finals. Mm-hmm.
There's
total mental error.
Mike, they can't run it back. They have to go address that position if they want to have a chance.
Yeah, a big time star.
Yeah, got to do
something,
it.
Something, yeah.
Do you like anything today in Major League Baseball? Crochet's cruising, by the way. 8 strikeouts at last check through 6.
It's still 3-1?
Yeah.
I think the Twins had this great run, right, where they got right back into it. I think it's over already for them. They're all out of starting pitching.
Yeah.
Are they really going to let Ober pitch today? He's got he's hurt. Something's wrong with Ober.
You know that he's 13-1 under his K prop on the year?
What?
Something's seriously wrong from the very first start this year. Really? Since when Baldelli pulled him out of that game in KC in August when he was up 2-0 in the 7th and it was a must-win game. He hasn't been right since then. I don't even know how you can keep running him out there, but they have no arms.
Right.
I mean, the Slim Reaper, he's okay for 4 innings, but you can't keep rolling him through the rotation every 5 days. Mm-hmm. Fake Ace is hurt.
Yeah.
They're all hurt.
Right.
I want to see this Milwaukee kid again tonight.
Mizorowski. Throws 100, herky-jerky style.
The kid that pitched last night for the Cubs has got some electric stuff, too, if he can learn to control the ball.
Wow, was it Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah,
how about Savali? Did you see that? He was mad. He got sent to the bullpen, demanded a trade. There you go.
Yeah,
go play for the White Sox the rest of the year. Yeah. Be careful what you wish for.
No doubt. that was right. He was the fall guy there. But I don't like this. Okay. We're bringing the kid up 5 no-hit innings. You want to? Okay, we'll ship you off to Siberia. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
You mentioned this earlier. Tigers, Pirates, that game's rained out tonight. So no Scooble in action. He was higher than a $3 favorite. Do you want to keep riding the Astros?
Valdez.
It's Severino at home.
You have to. I mean, you have to. So this team I thought was going to miss the playoffs. I bet him to miss the playoffs.
Oh, did you?
Throw that bet away. How much would you pay Scooble right now? And how many years?
I'm not going to go as high as you are.
I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you a hypothetical. If you had to give one guy a 6-year deal for $300 million,
oh Jesus!
6 years for $300 million. Let's just say 6 years for $240 million. Whatever. Would it be Scooble or Skeens?
Skeens.
I go Skeens. Scooble's had the injury.
Yeah. Since May 1st.
I'm on the fence there.
You're on the fence.
Yeah.
Since May 1st, 53 innings pitched. A 1.52 ERA, 53 strikeouts, 1 win.
He's a machine right now.
Yeah, he's amazing.
A machine.
Great job, Maestro.
Thank you, guys.
There you go. Mike Palm up next. We go more hockey. Eddie Olczyk joins the program. Tremendous job calling the NHL in the Stanley Cup Final. Did the voters get it right with the Conn Smythe? We'll ask him next.